may be seated.
The second scripture reading today is from Acts 16, and I will be starting at 25 through 40. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us in prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escort them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. A lot going on in that text, isn't there? A neat story as we continue in the book of Acts. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but I'm guessing, knowing a lot of people are, probably 75-80% of us are probably on Facebook in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to just mention this to start with this morning, because sometimes well-intentioned Facebook posts turn south. Notice that sometimes? You might make a post, and your intention in the post is to say something good and wonderful and truthful and whatever, and then all of a sudden, because of what someone else might think about what you post, what your intentions started out as, something good, turns in another direction. And you've got no control over it. That's the thing about Facebook, is you've got no control over where a conversation goes after you start that conversation, which is a little different than you and I might talk in person to each other. And maybe one of us misunderstands the other, and you can kind of navigate that, because we've learned how to communicate in, I think, a healthier way than sometimes we do with Facebook. A compliment is turned on its head. A misunderstood statement is turned against us. Does honesty always yield an easy path? And the answer to that is no, it doesn't. In fact, we see here in the story this morning that here is Paul and Silas trying to do the good and right thing, and it heads south rather quickly. It's not perhaps how they envisioned it when they went out to find a place to pray, and then something happens. Good intentions, doing the right thing, sometimes ends up getting into trouble. Here they were, praying, and there was this slave girl that was out there near them. And as we know in the text, in verse 16 and following, this slave girl was a fortune teller. And she was owned by these people who would apparently just bring her out to different places and she'd tell people's fortunes and they would take money from them. And they made good money off this slave girl that had this ability to tell about the future. I want us to understand something this morning too. This isn't the intent of the message, the primary thing I want to talk about, but I want to remind us of something. For those of you who do not realize this, the devil has power too. And the devil can do things that might seem on the surface to be maybe good, perhaps, but his intentions are never, never good. And we need to be reminded of that. Paul and Silas were praying together, and then they were, I'm sure, talking together about things, and this girl came along, and she kept saying the same thing over and over again. Now, you and I, when we first look at this, we think, well, what was the harm in what this gal was saying? Because here's the statement she kept repeating over and over and over again as she was, in essence, harassing these guys. She says, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. What's wrong with that statement? Nothing wrong with that statement, is there? But she was taking that, and it sounds like, and we don't always get the inflections when we read something, do we? Seems to me like the demons that were actually speaking, because Paul and Silas addressed the demon later and said, come out of her. And she stopped speaking that way. In fact, she couldn't fortune tell anymore because the demon had left. But how Satan sometimes can take something that's good and mock it. I believe that was going on here. It was mockery. They're running around trying to do things for Jesus. They're running around telling people all the good news of Jesus Christ. And this slave girl follows them everywhere and says, these men are men of the Most High God, and they're trying to tell you how to be saved. These men are men of the... And Satan does that sometimes, doesn't he? People do that sometimes, don't they? We are well-intentioned. We want to do the right thing, the good thing, the holy thing, the God-fearing good thing, the gospel-promoting thing. And there are those out there who will mock and seek to destroy what it is that we have to say. So everything started out okay, doing the right thing, but it gets them into trouble. This constantly harassing, and Paul was so frustrated, even though the devil or the demon was sharing their true identity, he confronted the demon and it left in verses 17 and 18 of that text. And you'd think maybe at this point it's over, the story is over, they've suffered a bit for doing this good and wonderful thing, but it wasn't. Because now there's the enemy, which was the owners of the slave girl. They all of a sudden realized what was taken from them. Their money-making opportunity was now gone. The slave girl could no longer fortune-tell for them, and their money-making opportunity was gone. They lost the ability to make money off her fortune-telling. So what did they want to do? Here's where it keeps getting worse. They wanted to get rid of Paul and Silas. So what did they do? First of all, what did Paul and Silas do? You see, they were brought to the magistrates. And we know late in the text that we read, there was a mistake that was made that should not have been made, but we'll get there eventually. They put Paul and Silas in prison. Before they put Paul and Silas in prison, they had them flogged and beaten severely. So here they are now. Imagine Paul and Silas, who what they had started out doing was nothing that was meant to do anything to destroy the people around there or anything. They were praying and asking that God would work, I'm sure, in that community, in that area, that God would use them. And the devil and his demons tried to take things away from them, and everything seemed to turn south. And here they now are in prison for doing wonderful things. And they're hurting. They've been beaten. They've been flogged. But what did they do? What did they do? When you look at verses 25 through 30 in this text, what did they do? What did they do? Well, here's what they did. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Reminds me of Job in the Old Testament when all these things had been taken from him and he was just in desperate, desperate need. What's he do? He falls down to the ground and worships. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. Even though I'm sure they were in a lot of pain, I'm sure that they were hurting badly, what are they doing? They are praising God. They are praying and singing praises to Him. And the other prisoners who were in there, many of them probably had not been flogged and beaten like they were, but many of the others who were in there are looking at Paul and Silas. What is wrong with these guys? They were keeping their head in the struggle is what they were doing, folks. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. Keep your head in the struggle. Because sometimes when you are doing the right thing and you feel like trouble is following you everywhere you go with whatever it is that's going on, and you're ready to just call it in, I'm done. Keep your head in the struggle. Like Paul and Silas were doing, keep your head in the struggle. He's in prison, they are in prison, singing hymns and praying, and others saw this. Not only were they singing hymns and praying, there was an earthquake that happened, and this earthquake took and opened the jailhouse doors, and here was the jailer there, and he saw what was going on. He saw all the doors had been opened and assumed that all those that were in the jail had left. Because you know what happens to jailers when they lose their prisoners? Death. He knew if the prisoners that he had under his care had left, probably would have been death for him. So why not make it easy? I'm going to just kill myself before they kill me. He was ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas are in there saying, hold on! We're here! We're all here! It wasn't just Paul and Silas that were here. It says, we're all here. All the prisoners that were in there at that point in time, everybody stayed in there. And the jailer couldn't believe what he saw. Why wouldn't you leave? When the doors flung open, why wouldn't you leave? I think because Paul and Silas kept their head in the struggle. And they saw an opportunity now to witness to this jailer because they saw that this jailer's heart was ready for something. The jailer, it says in verse 29, called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They made it simple because the gospel is simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and to his family. And they were baptized. They believed. Keep your head in the struggle, folks. Even though you may be doing the right thing and not so good things are happening to you sometimes and you wonder, why, God? Why? I'm trying. And not so good things are happening to me right now. I would encourage you and I to do this when we're in that struggle. Keep singing the hymns and keep praying. Keep rejoicing in the Lord even when you don't understand. Like Job. How could you worship when your family was taken? All your stuff was taken? But God had told Satan, he's not going to give in to your crap. And he didn't. Or there were times he almost did. There were times when he was like, oh, I'm ready to chuck it. I'm mad at you, God. I'm sure there were times as you read through Job, he's not really happy with God and what happened. But he never gave up. He kept his head in the struggle. Just like Paul and Silas kept their head in the struggle. And God's plan ultimately was completed. What the enemy meant for bad, God turned around and meant for good, didn't he? The jailer and his family were saved and were baptized. Not only that, God said, I'm going to do something else for you, Paul and Silas, as well. You live in a country where they say if you're a citizen, you are afforded certain rights. You weren't. So let's expose them. So the magistrates, those who had sentenced them, had to sheepishly come out and let them go themselves. Because they had done wrong. Paul was wronged as a Roman citizen, and God, through the magistrates, made right what was wrong. Justice, I want you and I to know something, that justice will ultimately prevail. We live in a world where justice is supposed to always bring about the right answer. It doesn't always. But ultimately, God's justice prevails. So I can leave all these inequities and all these wrong things that have happened and maybe decisions that I think are stupid and wrong and idiotic sometimes in the world that we live in, where we entrust these things to human beings and some of them are honorable and some may not be so honorable. All these things go on and we think, where is justice? Where is justice? I want to remind us that ultimately justice prevails. Don't worry about it. Justice ultimately prevails. So what's the lesson for us? If you don't have a sign, grab one. God's got it. Isn't that the lesson for us? Isn't that exactly what's going on here? Paul and Silas are in a mess. And they have to be reminded in the middle of all the mess that's going on and the flogging and the beating and the imprisonment and all the stuff that's going on. God got this. I don't understand it right now, but I know He does. I know He does. The lesson for us is that. The lesson is be faithful because He is faithful. The lesson is our plans might be thwarted, but His won't. Sometimes I'm attributing to God my plans. Hello? Sometimes my plans are not God's plans. I need to recognize that God's plan for me will never be thwarted. My plan for me might be. There's a difference there, folks. We don't always get it. Another lesson for us is getting to the other end may also include hardships and difficulties. Some of you maybe are experiencing those even now. But in the end, it's all worth it. Keep your head in the struggle. God's plan in you will be brought to completion. Just trust Him. Okay? Let's do that. God, thank You for Paul and Silas and their lesson for us this morning. That even in the heat of battle, even in the midst of struggles, when we're trying to do the right thing, and we find everything heading south, everything going in a direction we didn't want it to go, when we want to just give up and give in, help us to keep our head in the struggle. Help us to realize that You are working, and Your plan will be completed, and ultimately justice will prevail. Thank You, God, that we serve a for sure thing in You. Not a maybe or a probably, but a for sure thing. We give You thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.